gal is like a racehorse, I play her to win. But if I should lose her, another may come in. Oh, love.
Welcome back to
like
that 590
Ellen.
Show.
Love can be
this
a
song
joke.
Always puts a smile on my face, love Giamatti. That's why you play it.
So here I go for broke.
I know our next guest on the Belmont Automotive phone line. I know he's smiling too. Song about gambling. He's not afraid to do that. Joining us right now is Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the NFL Hall of Fame show on SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. H, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Doing well. Now, let's ask a really personal question here, Howard, right off the bat. Who do you like better? Now, I get strange looks when I say this, but I like Dean Martin better than I like Frank Sinatra. What is your opinion?
Ooh, wow. That's
I'm not saying I dislike Frank Sinatra. I'm just saying I like Dean Martin better.
No, I get it. I mean, I really like Dean. Dean's cool. He was obviously different, certainly, but I have to say I'm a Frank guy. I mean, you know, in terms of liking them better, the body of work is just so, you know, so huge. And here's the thing. I think if you haven't heard the song that I'm going to tell you about, then you go listen to it, and you will immediately say and change your mind that you like Frank better.
What song is that?
Do you know the song, There Used to Be a Ballpark?
You know, I think I've heard you say that song before on a different show. I remember you talking about it before. So I think maybe we've had this discussion before.
We might have, or I know I've talked about it on the air.
Yeah, I think that's where I've heard it. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
But I don't know if you might have heard me talk about it, but that doesn't mean you've actually heard the
song. Yeah, I don't think I've heard the song, so.
All right, well, that's your assignment before the show next week.
Okay.
And that is, you know, go to YouTube, you know, just put it in, There Used to Be a Ballpark, and you hear that and you go, wow. And, you know, consider, of course, when it was written and sang. It was back in around the 70s, I want to say. It was on his great album, Old Blue Eyes Is Back. And, of course, it had amazing songs in it, like Send in the Clowns and just an amazing number of songs. And it's just a crazy good album. And that song was on it. And like I said, I believe it was around the early to mid-70s, which is when, of course, we were in the cookie-cutter era of stadiums. Right here in St. Louis,
yes.
In Cincinnati, in Philadelphia, in Pittsburgh, and of course they were cookie cutter because they were multi-purpose for teams to play both, you know, for those cities to have for both baseball and football. We've kind of gone back the other way, which I think is good, but he was kind of reacting to that, but also just how the romance of baseball and all those things and what it was wasn't anymore. And so listen to that song, and I think you'll be hooked.
I will certainly. I'm not a stranger to Sinatra's music, but that one I've not heard of. But I will listen to it before we speak. We speak next Tuesday. Let's get to the NFL stories here, though. Jeremy Maclin, he signs a 2-year deal with the Baltimore Ravens. Is that a good landing spot for Mac?
Yeah, I think it is because you know they're a pretty good team already. They did struggle on offense last year and had a bunch of issues. Some were related to the running game. Some were related to the offensive line. You know, Joe Flacco was coming back from, you know, knee surgery and got through the season healthy, but, you know, wasn't great. But, you know, he's a guy that can throw the ball down the field. You know, they have, you know, some other weapons on that offense. And this just adds to it. Now, a lot depends, of course, on Maclin himself. And can he stay healthy? Can he return to what he had been at times? I mean, last year he only played 12 games and he averaged less than 10 yards, you know, per reception. And so, you know, how much of that was because of injuries and all those things, you know, who's to say? But I think this is, you know, a good spot for him to be another playmaker in that offense to help that offense get, you know, be better than it was last season.
And I think also will help, too, is working with a quarterback like Joe Flacco, who has a more tendency to throw the ball downfield, as opposed to Alex Smith, who's more of a kind of like a check down quarterback. I mean, he rarely throws the ball further than 10 yards down the field anyway. So I think that'll probably help his stats, too, is that he's going to be working with someone who can throw the deep ball like Joe Flacco.
You know, and I've always thought, to be quite honest, that Smith is somewhat of an underrated guy in terms of going downfield. And, of course, Macklin's average per reception was much better in previous years before last season. But I think it's also just about style and the way, you know, the way the Chiefs play. And I think a certain amount of that is philosophy that they don't want to take. You know, they're not going to take a lot of chances because they figure that, you know, the one thing about Smith is obviously he doesn't throw many interceptions, but a big part of that is because they don't take chances in that offense. It's probably a combination of him and the philosophy. And when they can, you can run the ball a bit, but, you know, the interesting thing is that they're probably going to end up, the Chiefs, that is, doing maybe more getting it downfield to Tyreek Hill. And although a lot of his yards are after the catch, but it'll be interesting to see the Chiefs without Macklin and whether Hill can take on more, you know, more touches than he had as a rookie because he's not a big guy, obviously.
Howard, did you see the story about Eddie Lacy and he weighed at 250 pounds or less on Monday and he received a $55,000 bonus from the Seattle Seahawks? So ESPN, they had this story about other contracts in sports that have kind of like quirky numbers like that. And this is not going to surprise you, but the Rams, they're one of these teams that do that. They inject life into the monotony and structure of NFL contract negotiations. When they signed Tavon Austin, they gave him instead of just giving him $10.5 million, they made it $10,555,501 because it's the same front and back.
Howard is so happy you asked him this question, Berger. Howard's been waiting for someone to ask him this question for like 3 years now.
Well, you know, the crazy thing, we've talked about that, Matt, you know, both Matts, in the past, because it was pretty common knowledge that the Rams were doing that, at least with a lot of their signing bonuses, where they have palindromes, you know, backward and frontward. So they've been doing that for several years. These, though, I read that story you're talking about. This went just totally over the chain, I thought, with not only doing that, but like with Tavon Austin, you mentioned him. I think one of his salaries for the year was all ones because he's number 11.
Yeah.
And I'm going, and they would put like little personal things in guys' contracts for that. And I'm saying, come on. And then they're saying, well, it's just a lot of fun. Come on. It just seems so Harry High School to me.
I just can't imagine any players kind of like, well, you know, I wasn't going to sign with Team X until I saw them do this with the contract they were going to offer me, and that just kind of put it over the top. I just can't see a serious baseball or a serious athlete doing that.
No, I don't think it certainly that doesn't attract players there. And most of these contracts, a lot of them are with guys they already have anyway, and they do it with most of the draft picks. You know, most of the draft picks get those signing bonuses that are, like you said, are the same, you know, backward and frontwards is a palindrome. So, but all the other ones, that was pretty crazy to me. And, you know, you just look at it and you go, well, how typical of the Rams. And Kevin Demoff was the one that began it. And so certainly when you're a cynic and you say, well, maybe you should be concentrating more on getting players to help you win.
That's what
it doesn't really matter what these little, you know, things that are in your contract. So I thought it was pretty bizarre the lengths. You know, I didn't think it was that big of a deal with signing bonuses for a handful of guys, but this story brought out is how many others have these weird things.
Yeah,
you know, personal things with their uniform number or something else. I'm thinking, come on.
I saw the Minnesota Vikings when they signed Jared Allen from the Kansas City Chiefs. They gave him a signing bonus of $15,500,069. And why the extra 69 is because that was his jersey number.
Right.
And Darrell Revis, when he signed with the New York Jets, this was for $14,024,212. And the reason why, 24 is his number and 212 is the area code in New York. I just don't think that, I mean, unless you point that out to the athlete, do they even notice something like that?
Probably not. Probably not. And I think most of them, a lot of times they sign that contract, I would think most of them, except for the total dollars and what the signing bonus is or a lot of that, they're really hardly even paying attention to it all. So, and that, you know, I'm not saying there's anything bad about it. I mean, it's not that big a deal, but I don't know. It just seems kind of bizarre that these teams would, and again, if you do it with a few guys, you know, a guy here or there, that's one thing. But when you're making it almost like frequent and doing it with a lot of players, I'm not sure what the point is, but hey, whatever. It doesn't affect much of anything.
Odell Beckham Jr., he missed the voluntary OTAs, but he reported in time for the Giants minicamp. Apparently, he wants a new deal. What do you think that someone like Odell Beckham Jr. is worth? Yeah, he is a tremendous wide receiver, maybe the most electrifying one in the game right now. But is that someone that you, Howard Balzer, think that someone that the Giants need to give big money to, considering what's a good game for him? He touches the ball, you know, 8-10 times, that's it?
Well, I don't know if you can look at it that way, because, I mean, you look at it within other receivers in the league and what the going rate is for the best player, the best players at that position. And even though you might only touch the ball or have it thrown your way 8-10 times a game, your presence on the field, just being there, certainly affects the way the defense, you know, plays you. So I think the biggest thing for Beckham more than anything, and, you know, he talked extensively today at the minicamp, and he claimed that, no, I wasn't away from OTAs because of a contract. He said, you know, I just wanted to, you know, be on my own, work on my own. And he worked with a personal trainer, of course. And he also said that I was doing all, he claimed he was doing a lot of reflecting and things that he has to realize that he has to do not only on the field, but off the field to kind of not have so much focus on him for the bizarre stuff that he does. And I think that's the way the Giants are looking at it. Obviously, they know at some point they're going to have to pay him what the going rate is for receivers, but they do want to see a more mature player that they don't have to worry about every week is not going to do something off the wall. And so, the general manager, Jerry Reese, has talked to him about it. The head coach has talked to him about it. And he seemed to be pretty cognizant of it today when he talked to the media very openly about a lot of that, you know, weird stuff that's gone on with him. So I think that's what the Giants would like to see from him this season before they're going to say, okay, we're going to break the bank to sign you. But when they do, I mean, he, like I said, he's going to get the going rate for what the best wide receivers in the game get. And I think he's certainly on talent alone, he deserves that.
Howard Balzer joining us right now on the Bellman Automotive phone line. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. Howard, I think it was released a couple days ago that the Golden Nugget Casino in Las Vegas, they released their odds for most likely Super Bowl matchup and least likely Super Bowl matchup. The least likely Super Bowl matchup is the San Francisco 49ers and the New York Jets. Very little surprise there. But the most likely matchup is the Dallas Cowboys versus the New England Patriots. So my question to you, Howard Balzer, is when that Super Bowl does happen, what movie are you going to go see that night?
Are you kidding me? I'll be right there. I'll be right there in person, even with the game in Minneapolis. And so, what's interesting about that? Last month, of course, everyone knows pretty much that every year I go to Lindy's to do the magazine. And in that magazine, I have to make a prediction. And most of the time, within 2 weeks of doing that prediction, I have forgotten what I picked. But when you just mentioned that, I'm searching for next. I don't have the magazine yet. I know the magazine is on the newsstands, but I don't have it in front of me. And I believe that's what I picked for the Super Bowl. And I'm looking now at what I wrote, and here I am getting to the bottom of the story. Yeah, I picked the Patriots and the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. So certainly that one being the most likely doesn't certainly mean anything, and it doesn't mean anything that I picked it. But if that's what it ends up being, then I'll be very happy, because in all my – this is my 25th year, believe it or not, of doing Lindy's Magazine, and I've never once – picked both Super Bowl teams.
Really?
Correctly. A few times I've gotten one of them, but I've never gotten both.
That's amazing.
So maybe this will be the year.
On the point about the pick, though, H. Berger was kind of wondering, like, really, it's the Cowboys as the NFC favorite? My thought process with that is that simply there's kind of a jumble at the top of the NFC. We don't know who's going to come out on that one, and it just makes sense to pick the team that has a very stable offense that seems like it could really churn through the playoffs with the running they got.
But that defense
No, you're right. And as I go through this in my mind, I'm not saying that they're necessarily the favorite. I look at, like you said, and you're right about that. You know, I said to myself, you know, do I go with Green Bay? You know, do I go with Seattle? I don't know. I'm a little cold actually on Seattle. I don't know about Atlanta getting back there again. I'm not sure about any other team in the AFC South. And so when I look, and certainly nobody else in the North. And so I think that they're certainly as good a pick as any. And so, you know, I picked Arizona last year, and we saw how that one turned out.
I was with you on that one.
Yeah. And so when you look at those teams, you're right. Even though there's a jumble, I think, you know, there are some, you know, questions. Obviously, well, there's questions about every team. And would it surprise me if Green Bay got there? No. You know, is there some team that can make a huge run and surprise everybody? You know, perhaps there is. But like you said, Matt, when you look at that Cowboys offense, and obviously Dak Prescott has to prove that last year was real and it wasn't a fluke, but he has, like you said, he has so much around him. The defense certainly has to be better for them to get that far. But most of the other teams we just mentioned, I mean, if you look at Atlanta, their defense is solid. You know, it's pretty good, but it's not great. Certainly Green Bay has defensive questions. You know, Seattle, I think, is getting to the point where they're almost overrated on defense. And so, if the Cowboys can just up their game a bit and get a better pass rush, then who knows? You know, who knows what might happen? So that was essentially my thought process on going with that selection.
I think the dark horse in the NFC is the New York Giants. I think that offense has a chance to be really, really good. The defense maybe could be better than what it was last year. But the offensive line obviously is going to be an issue, and so is the running game. But I think the New York Giants are going to be a little bit of a dark horse in the NFC. But going back to what the Golden Nuggets said, and their top 10 scenarios, the first five, every single one of the representative or the New England Patriots were representing the AFC in all top five of those scenarios. Who do you think is the biggest contender to the Patriots in the AFC? Is it the Raiders? Is it Pittsburgh? Is it maybe the Texans if they get a quarterback?
Yeah, I don't think it's the Texans. I mean, they have what they have at quarterback. I don't know that that's enough to get them that far in the postseason. And, you know, they've shown the last few years with Bill O'Brien at head coach that they're good enough to get into the postseason. But I don't know that, while I like Deshaun Watson, and I think he will develop in time, I don't know that they would get to the Super Bowl with him or a Tom Savage. And so that's the question there. Yeah, I would probably say it's Pittsburgh or Oakland as the two other teams with the best chance of getting there. And both those teams have obviously great offenses, and the defense remains a question in Oakland. That was a problem with them last year. And Pittsburgh's defense certainly is, they're solid. They're certainly not the Steelers' defense of old. But when you look around the league, I mean, how many real dominant defenses are there anymore? There really aren't. And a big part of that is how explosive and how good so many offenses are. So I think, and even New England, if you just looked at it on paper, you'd probably say that any of these teams have just as good a chance as New England. But my thought process was it's tough to pick a team to repeat, because that's very, very difficult to do. But it's also tough to pick against New England, because they just seem to find a way to get it done. And on top of everything, the division, while I do think that Buffalo has a chance to be a bit better and Miami will be okay, still the Patriots are probably going to get a bye once again. And that's the big part, and that's the big thing about it. Whether they're first or second seed, you know, they're awful. They're just awful tough to beat in the postseason, and they've shown that pretty much year after year.
Howard, I know you were watching the NBA Finals, and you probably saw the way that LeBron was carrying that team in every single one of those games. And I'm sure his back has got to be killing him from carrying that team. Where would you advise LeBron to go? Because you know his back is just all out of whack.
You know, I was just kind of surprised when, you know, in a lot of the post-game interviews last night, when questions were being asked, well, what do you do now? What are you going to do now? What do you mean, what am I going to do now? You know, we don't play again until, you know, practice again until September, but they talked about working out. I was waiting for one of those guys, whether it was Durant or James or whatever, to say, well, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm going to go to my chiropractor, and Metro Chiropractic is the place to go because, you know, you just got to work on my body in addition to working out. But the thing about Metro Chiropractic, though, and nutritional wellness, is it's for everybody, obviously. It's not just for athletes. It's for everybody, young, middle-aged, you know, older. I mean, I had mentioned I was in there, you know, for a couple of weeks getting treatment on my calf, and there are people from all age groups. In fact, there was a woman in there about 75 years old who was just, you know, getting some stuff done just to kind of keep her body in alignment and make her feel better. And so it's for everybody, and they will match the best thing for you, whatever it might be. And of course, the one thing I like to talk about all the time is the $590 special for just $59. What normally costs $97, they'll give you a really good evaluation, do x-rays, take a look at your spine, take a look at different places on your body and say, hey, this is a little off here. Here's what we can do to fix that. That could lead to some problems. Or if you're having just little aches and pains, you don't want them to get worse. And they'll design a program that will help, and they're reasonable. They take insurance, and there's a lot of chiropractors out there. But I'm telling you, the things that they offer at Metro Chiropractic, deep muscle massage, which is just unbelievable, so much they have. So, again, give them a call, 314-567-7300. Ask for the $590 special, and they will take care of you. No questions asked. Metro Chiropractic and Nutritional Wellness.
H, we appreciate your time as always, sir. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we look forward to having you on again next Tuesday.
Look forward to it, and I hope that you will tell me that you have heard the song.
I'm going to listen to it when I'm at the gym. I promise you.
All right, man. Take care.
All right, thanks, Howard. That is Howard Balzer from BalzerFootball.com and the Hall of Fame show on the NFL channel on SiriusXM. You can follow him on Twitter at HBalzer721. Let's take a commercial break, and then final segment of the evening coming up next. You're listening to That 590 Show right here on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.